Nicholas and Alexandra's story captures the imagination like few others in history, a tale where immense privilege collided with profound tragedy, where unwavering love existed amid political chaos. As Russia's last imperial rulers, they presided over an empire at a crossroads, clinging to autocratic traditions while revolutionary forces gathered strength. Their personal drama, particularly their hemophiliac son Alexei's illness, drove decisions that would accelerate the monarchy's collapse. When their remains were finally reinterred in St. Petersburg in 1998, it marked not just historical closure, but renewed global fascination with their story. Their legacy resonates through films, exhibitions, and literature because it speaks to timeless questions. How do personal choices intersect with historical forces? How can love be both strength and weakness? And how quickly can seemingly permanent institutions crumble when they fail to adapt to changing times? Russia in the late 19th century was a land of stark contradictions. Though it was a mighty empire spanning 1/6 of the Earth's landmass, deep structural tensions threatened its stability. When Nicholas inherited the throne in 1894, he vowed to maintain absolute autocracy like his father, a stance that would prove disastrous. Under Finance Minister Sergei Vita, Russia experienced rapid industrialization, with factory output doubling between 1894 to 1904, and the Trans-Siberian Railway expanding. However, this economic modernization conflicted with the political conservatism advocated by advisors like Konstantin Pobedonosev, who rejected Western influences. St. Petersburg embodied these contradictions, with modern factories and European boulevards alongside medieval social structures and widespread poverty. While Nicholas clung to divine right rule, socialist ideologies gained popularity among workers and intellectuals. The mounting tensions finally erupted after Russia's humiliating defeat in the 1905 Russo-Japanese War. The subsequent Bloody Sunday massacre of peaceful demonstrators outside the Winter Palace destroyed the people's faith in their Tsar as protector. Nicholas and Alexandra's romance began in their teens, defying political norms with a genuine love rarely seen in royal marriages. Their intimate letters revealed a deep, modern connection that would shape Russia's destiny. However, their extraordinary closeness created political complications, as Nicholas heavily relied on Alexandra's counsel, particularly during World War I when she influenced domestic affairs while he commanded the army. Their family life revolved around their 5 children, especially their son Alexei, whose hemophilia brought constant crisis. The desperate search for treatment led Alexandra to Grigory Rasputin, a Siberian mystic who could mysteriously ease Alexei's suffering. While her maternal instinct to trust Rasputin was understandable, his presence and influence severely damaged the monarchy's reputation. Rumors of his debauchery and control over the Tsarina spread throughout Russian society, undermining the throne's authority at a crucial historical moment. The Russian court under Nicholas II embodied stark contrasts, outwardly magnificent, yet increasingly isolated. While the Winter Palace boasted 1,500 rooms and vast treasures, Nicholas and Alexandra preferred the quieter Alexander Palace at Tsarskoye Selo. Court life operated on centuries-old protocols, with an extensive hierarchy of servants maintaining the imperial household. Every activity followed strict etiquette, creating an environment both opulent and confining. The court's grandeur peaked during special events, with nobles displaying generations of family jewels at elaborate balls. Ladies wore traditional Russian court dress, with pearl-studded kokoshnik headdresses, symbolizing their status and wealth. In private, however, the imperial family lived relatively simply. Alexandra favored intimate spaces with family photographs, while their daughters shared bedrooms, unusual choices for royalty at the time. Alexandra struggled to integrate into Russian court life, feeling isolated and distrusted by the aristocracy. Her German heritage became a liability as tensions with Germany mounted, spawning unfounded accusations of espionage. While the imperial family preserved ancient traditions within palace walls, revolutionary ideas flourished in the world beyond, creating an insurmountable divide between monarchy and society. Nicholas approached governance with an outdated 18th-century mindset. "I am not prepared to be czar. I never wanted to become one," he confided upon his father's death. His reluctance, paired with his belief in divine right, made him an absolute yet indecisive ruler. His foreign policy embodied this contradiction. While initiating the peace-focused Hague Conference of 1899, he simultaneously pursued aggressive expansion in Manchuria, leading to the disastrous Russo-Japanese War. Russia's defeat shattered imperial prestige and sparked domestic unrest. The 1905 revolution forced Nicholas to establish Russia's first elected parliament through the October Manifesto. Yet he viewed these reforms as temporary, declaring, "A constitution would be the ruin of Russia," even as he signed it. During World War I, Nicholas's decision to personally command the army in 1915 proved catastrophic. His absence from the capital created a power vacuum filled by Alexandra and Rasputin. Though not cruel by nature, indeed, he was a devoted family man who believed in his divine duty, Nicholas's inability to adapt and his stubborn preservation of autocratic power ultimately sealed the fate of both his reign and family. Grigori Rasputin's rise from Siberian peasant to imperial confidant represents one of history's most remarkable ascents. Arriving in St. Petersburg in 1903 as a Staretz, holy wanderer, his mystical reputation and hypnotic presence captivated aristocratic circles. His influence skyrocketed when he demonstrated an ability to help the hemophiliac heir Alexei. In 1908, during a severe crisis, Rasputin's telegram from Siberia predicting the boy's recovery proved accurate, convincing Alexandra of his divine connection. "He is our friend and our intercessor before God's throne," she wrote to Nicholas. Beyond the palace walls, Rasputin's reputation deteriorated. His crude behavior, sexual scandals, and alleged political influence through Alexandra, especially after Nicholas left for the war front in 1915, alarmed even loyal monarchists. In December 1916, Prince Felix Yusupov, Grand Duke Dmitry Pavlovich, and Vladimir Purishkevich murdered Rasputin, an act requiring poison, multiple gunshots, and drowning. Rather than preserving the monarchy, the assassination hastened its fall. Alexandra grew more isolated, while public perception solidified around the image of a corrupt holy man controlling the empire through the Tsarina. World War I initially united Russia behind Nicholas II in 1914, but patriotic fervor quickly faded as military weaknesses emerged. Despite mobilizing 15 million men, poor equipment and leadership led to devastating defeats and massive casualties. The war crippled the home front, collapsing transportation and causing food shortages. By winter 1916-17, Petrograd faced severe bread shortages. Worker strikes in February 1917 transformed from economic protests to revolution. When soldiers joined protesters instead of suppressing them, Nicholas's authority dissolved. Nicholas abdicated for himself and his son on March 2, 1917, ending 3 centuries of Romanov rule. The Bolsheviks later executed the family and their servants in Yekaterinburg in July 1918, concealing their remains. Their legacy lives on through art, literature, and memory. The discovery and burial of their remains in St. Petersburg's Peter and Paul Cathedral in 1998 brought symbolic closure. Memorial churches now stand at their execution and burial sites. The Romanov story shows how personal choices shape history and how powerful institutions can suddenly collapse. Their fall from power serves as a reminder of history's unpredictability and institutional fragility.